Welcome to Talking Sports with Ryan.
Let's be great.
Your number one podcast for the latest sports news and highlights.
Go rock this thing, huh? Love you, man. Go get it.
Need NFL?
It's great to have you with us for the divisional playoffs.
Need NBA?
Just have some fun out here. You know, enjoy the journey of all this. I'm trying to get 16 wins and going after a gold trophy.
Ryan's got you covered and more. The show starts right now.
All right, we're back on another edition of Talking Sports with Ryan. It's football season, and we are going to talk some Oregon Duck football as we like to do on this show. And we have a special guest tonight joining me, Brent Haberle. Welcome to the show, man, again for the first time this year.
Hey, good to be back, pal. It's that time of the year. Good to hear your voice again.
Yeah, it's been quite a summer for the show, actually. I mean, I'm sure you've been listening. I've actually been able to get some good guests on, and we're just trying to keep this thing running, so...
I see you're getting all the babes from the NFL Network dialed in. I mean, look at you, pal. That fires me up.
I mean, hey, you got to do what you got to do, and they love coming on. And hey, they know probably more about football than I do. I'm not gonna lie.
Hey, the first step sometimes with them is just admitting it, pal. That's fine.
So as always, we love to being in the Pacific Northwest and being Ducks. I mean, we gotta talk Duck football. We got a big one coming up. I want to kind of dig into what you have found out. I know you're obviously connected. Just kind of what you've heard during camp and all that, you know, just the off season in general. And then we'll get into kind of the game on Saturday. So I want to kind of dig right into the defensive side of the ball because we have the new D coordinator that we got from Boise State. You know, kind of what are you hearing about how that's going? And, you know, how do you see that being an issue or not issue with the defensive talent we have going forward, losing Levitt and, you know, as a D coordinator and having Andy out, I believe it's Avalos. I don't know how to pronounce it accurately, but how do you see that kind of playing out or what have you heard?
Yeah, well, obviously it's a very, very, the die kit best, you got to pay your homage. I'm a linebacker, obviously biased towards that position. He's a leader of the field, leader of the team. The kid's going to have more tackles than anybody to ever come through as a linebacker. So it all starts with him in the middle. He's the key. But I think that the most impressive thing so far this camp has been the defensive backfield. You've got a bunch of guys that are young, but they're veteran guys. Graham on the north the corner. Holland. Breeze has been a nice surprise. It's one of those things where – we don't want to pull our hand and show our hand early in this game because if we're just the people that blitz and lock down, we're going to have our plays, you know, they're going to have a book on what we do. So we've got to be able to hold up with our front seven and not necessarily bring the pressure early. But if we have to do what we have to do to hang in there, you know, Auburn's going to try to pound it down your throat. They're starting a freshman quarterback. The ticket for a freshman or a young quarterback to win is a solid run game. So as long as the Ducks can hold up with the front seven, maybe bring a safety in the box, get into some cover three or some man-free stuff, that'd be a big indicator. If we have to start blitzing and bringing guys to be able to hold up, then it's going to get a little dicey. I'm not saying going to get dicey in Dallas, but probably down the road because then you're going to show what you've got in the holster as far as your pressures, and everybody's going to be able to see it week one. So that's kind of where we're sitting. But at the same time, if you've got to bring pressure, you've got veteran guys out there that can cover. We just got to get home and hopefully make this kid feel uncomfortable from the jump.
Yeah, no, I think just everybody in the coming back. I mean, a lot of the guys coming back from the defense last year. The guy I'm really anxious to see play is obviously Kayvon. I mean, have you had a chance to look at this kid? He just looks like a monster. I think he's going to be really good once he kind of gets his, you know, finds his way.
The problem is, and it's not a problem, but Auburn has over 100 starts on their offensive line. So they've seen 100 Thibodeaux. You know what I mean? So that's tough to say this guy's going to come out and have an immediate impact. I think anything we get out of him, game one, is going to be a cherry on top. Really, what would be more impressive with me is how he holds up a double team or when they're going to be down blocking on him and hold up against the run. Anybody can pin their ears back and try to get after an 18-year-old in the pocket, but I want to see how he holds up against the run, how he fits up, They'll probably try to get him in space a little bit and confuse him. So, but yeah, off the edge, the kick and pass rush with the best of them. But at the end of the day, it may not be third and long too much, depending on how the game flow goes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's obviously he's got a lot of time to obviously show us what he's got, but it's going to be interesting to see how he does game one. I mean, we still have guys like, you know, Fat Mac, Jordan Scott. We have just a ton of talent. I think this has got to be one of the more talented Oregon defenses than I've seen. I mean, is that too far-fetched?
No, I mean, like you said, in this league, on offense, a veteran quarterback usually wins in the Pac-12. And on defense, if you're able to hold up on the back end with how much people throw the ball, you're going to be in a great scenario to be in a position to win games. So having the veteran core, obviously, again, die in the middle in the passing game, that's going to be huge. But having the DBs that have the experience, that is what's going to be able to dictate. Just like Alioli's old defense, when you got Bowman and Smith out there, you can put nine guys in the box and stuff Colorado. But those guys have to be able to cover like that to be able to get all those guys in the box. Now, you and I know Malzahn's been on the hot seat. Right, they've been underachieving, but he's calling the plays again this year. He's calling the plays. So you're going to see a lot of H-backs. You're going to see a lot of movement. You're going to see a lot of misdirection. You're going to see that type of stuff. But at the end of the day, he wants to run the ball down your throat so he can get into that gadget play-action game and get that quarterback in a flow. And, again, we just got to hold up against the run. Obviously, Jordan Scott's great on first and second down. You've got some other veteran guys. You got the transfer from Miami. I mean, obviously, if your linebackers show up and everybody has 10 tackles, they'll be partying in the backfield. But again, Auburn's O-line, they got 100-plus starts across the board. It's going to be tough to get home. You got to be able to hold up.
Yeah. So who would you say, I guess this is kind of more of a season kind of question, but who do you say is going to be the most important guy on defense, not named Dye?
I would say Graham and Lenore, to be honest with you. I mean, obviously, we don't have Haloti Knott or Igor Olshansky up front. You know what I mean? So for me, the back end, obviously, in this game, the front, the D-line. But as far as, like I said, the season, you got to have the back end show up. But in this game, we've got to be able to hold up on first down, win first. If you win first down, it's the old Bilotti thing. If you win first down, you make possession downs easier because you're putting people in second and long, which then translates to third and long rather than second and short and giving somebody a first down opportunity on third down. If you win first down, you hold up against the run, you get to be second and long. That's what's going to be the ticket to be able to get off the field on third down.
Yeah, no, I'm anxious to see. He's a redshirt freshman, but I'm anxious to see how Verone McKinley does, partially because I had him on the show like back in March. So if you haven't checked out that episode, go check it out. But
I like
that kid a lot, and he was super, super cool. And I'm excited to watch him on the field a little bit this year. So he's real young though.
So yeah, they've got this is the thing. They've got veteran guys up front. They're just not the big guys you'd like. You know what I mean? But they're experienced. They're veteran guys. And again, if they're getting pushed around, he'll bring some pressure to offset some of that mauling that'll go on up front. But you got these guys, like I said, this O-line, they have seen plenty D-lines bigger than ours. And that's where the game is going to be won or lost. If our D-line, if Jordan Scott is fat macking in the backfield and doing his belly roll, it's going to be fine. But I can't tell you that that's going to happen.
Yeah, and so, you know, transitioning into the other side of the ball, Oregon's offensive line, probably – since I can ever remember, one of, if not the biggest that we've ever had. Obviously, that's where Cristobal likes to build, being that he's an offensive line guy. But, you know, you got Auburn having one of the probably top 10 defensive lines in the country. What's going to be the biggest key there, getting Herbert enough protection?
Well, they got this Gary Walker guy playing DN. He's not very tall, but he's just a football player. And they, I don't know, they've got some good DBs, but I think that let's start at the root of this whole thing, and this Arroyo guy, okay? And I don't know who's listening, and you UW people up there can spill the beans, but this guy, he's way better at wearing Jordans and having gel in his hair than he is at calling plays, okay? So, to me, Herbert's been handcuffed a little because of the lack of coaching, if you would, at his position. So we have to be able to obviously establish the run, but we can't rely on Herbert to win the game. You put him in a position, he breaks his collarbone, the season's done. We've seen this before.
Yep.
We've got to be able to establish the run game, but it can't be vanilla. What I don't want to see happen is these guys think that we got this big powdered old line out west, we're going to go down and run the ball on Auburn's throat. And dear Lord, I hope it happens, but I'm going to be a realist and say it's probably not going to happen that we're going to be able to jam Auburn for 200 or 300 yards on the ground. Okay, that's just not how it works. These kids are all the five-star kids from down south. If we get into a situation where we can't run the ball, that's going to be tough. Just like with them, with their quarterback, they're going to need some help to get him going. We obviously need to help Justin out, but we can get into those five wide sets that I'm not interested in seeing slant on 3rd and 7 from Arroyo. He doesn't put him in positions that are very highly successful on those crunch and crucial downs. So for me, it's not going to necessarily be as much of the matchup as it's going to be as play calling. I don't want to see the – I mean, you've watched the Ducks play for 10 years. When we get on the goal line, we just run zone read and hand it to the running back. They can stop that down in Alabama, okay? They feast on that. So I understand that we're building this thing as far as the O-line standpoint, but you're not going to be able to run over Alabama. So you better have a plan B when you don't get the first 3rd and 1. And all I've been hearing about is we're going to get 3rd and 1. Well, you better prove it, in my opinion.
No, and we've talked about this off air about the play calling, and it's – I mean, it goes back to even last year, some of the play calling. And it's just – if it doesn't change this year, it's going to be real frustrating to watch when you have – you know, you have a talented offense, you have a talented offensive line, you have a talented quarterback, but you have to call the right plays. So, I mean
– my thing is – yeah.
Go ahead.
My thing is this guy was coaching at San Jose State. This is a Royal guy. And I had dinner down there recently, and I sat across from him, and I bit my tongue, okay? So I'm going to get it off my chest, okay? He had the 116th ranked offense at San Jose State the year before Willie Taggart gave him a multi-million dollar deal, okay? We can't buy the guy out because it's too expensive, and he's been there for, I guess he's kind of been a little bit of a consistent thing because after the coaching shift and everything changed out, they only retained a few guys. So to go, he can recruit. We'll give him that. He can recruit, but I don't see that he's done anything with it. Because if you look at the tape, obviously Herbert had a lot of drops, and we're going to need the wide receiver core to step it up a little bit this year. And like we talked in the spring, we called Micah Pittman. You and I both. We knew Micah Pittman was going to be special. Well, we're not going to see Micah Pittman until October.
Yeah, we're not going to see him until like week 8.
So, that's what I'm saying. So Jalen Redd and the big Juwan on the outside and these other guys, they're going to have to step up and catch the rock because we can't afford to have those whoopsies this year. We went through that. It's just like when the DB gets hit deep. You saw Aaron Gibson get roasted when we played with them, and these guys get roasted as freshmen, but then they'll lead the nation in picks as a junior or a senior. So these guys need to lead the nation in catches and not drops. Is what I'm trying to say. We can't have the negative when a guy's wide open in a crucial third down situation like we did last year.
No, exactly. And so that kind of gets me to my next point about Joe. I mean, as far as having drops, this Juwan Johnson kid, I mean, he's 6'4", 230. He's a huge body. All of our other receivers are these little, you know, 5'9", 5'10", buck 95 guys. Granted, if he can catch the rock, how big of a weapon is that going to be for Herbert, especially down in the red zone?
Well, obviously they've had some injuries at the tight end position, and you've got Breland and McCormick. They're just a little banged up. And like I said, I just don't know what mantra this team's going to take on. Are we going to be putting tight ends in the game and trying to jam it down people's throat, or are we going to get out in 4 and 5 wide and get pretty like we used to? It sounds like we're going to get into the pair twin 12 personnel, one running back, two tight ends, and create some extra gaps, let Verdell do his thing. It is what it is. But when you get into the red zone and you've got one of those big body receivers, obviously this program is feasted with good tight ends in the red zone. That's what it's been all about the last decade or two. But you finally got a guy like a Jason Williams or a LaCorey Collins that you could put on the outside, take some shots at some undersized receivers, and make it happen in the red zone when he needs the most help. Because, like you said, all these midget receivers can get us down the field, but they're not necessarily guaranteed when that field shrinks and you need a big body guy.
Exactly. So we've talked a little bit about the game. These are kind of some more. One other thing I actually wanted to cover, I'll take that back. So, obviously, we've touched on Bo Nix, the true freshman quarterback that Auburn's starting. Obviously, he was a highly touted recruit. I can't remember if he was like a 4 or 5 star. But what are some things our defense needs to do early to make him uncomfortable? Early in that game, first few drives. What are we going to need to do to that kid? We're going to need to get to him if they're actually going to let him pass the ball, right? I mean, we just need to put up some bodies on him.
Yeah, I mean, well, let's be honest here. Let's call a spade a spade. Last time we lined up against Auburn, okay, who was playing quarterback? Okay, Bo Nix is not Cameron Newton. Okay?
No.
Now he may have broke the state record with 12,000 offensive yards and 161 touchdowns in his high school career. All good. We led him to consecutive state titles. It's going to be a little different ball game in Jerry's World Labor Day weekend than it was in Glendale, Arizona for that national championship game. Okay. If the Ducks start stopping the run and they put this kid in some scenarios, he's going to be 18 or 19 years old. His best friend, like we talked about, is the 100 starts that he has up front and the veterans that he has around him. If they can get after him and hit him, obviously it'll help out, but this kid's 6'2", 200. He's not 6'5", 240 like Cam Newton. He's not going to take this game over, and if he does, I'll be there with my two eyes to see it. But I think the Ohio State kid, I think the Fields kid is way more dynamic than this kid from Auburn, personally. But it is what it is. He's a local kid. He's a hometown boy. Good for him. But if you watched in that national championship game, we beat Cam Newton up. We beat Cam Newton up physically, and that's the way that you have to be able to attack these guys. We have to be able to out-physical or match the physicality up front, get some hits on him, welcome him to big-time football, and make him realize that maybe it's not as easy as he thought it was going to be. And at the end of the day, like I said earlier, you're not staring down Cam Newton. You're staring down Bo Nix. Bo Nix is a nobody. He's an Alabama prodigy. He's going to have to prove it because I don't think anybody out here really cares about this kid's high school stats, to be honest with you.
No, and I think, yeah, if we just dial up some pressure early, and I mean, granted, they may be running the ball like you said, get him into those third and sevens and third and eights and make him throw the ball and make him beat you that way. Because, I mean, I'll take our even young DBs, I'll take them. Because they're going to be feisty on third down. They're going to want to, you know. I like our chances there if we can get them into, like, those third and sevens, third and eights.
And, you know, there's going to be some pride there. This kid's dad played at Auburn. You know what I mean? Like I said, I've been down to these games. I went to LSU, went to Ohio State, went out to Tennessee. I've been on the road. The SEC takes the cake for the drunkest people in America on Saturdays. They're going to be the loudest 80,000 people. They probably got 3 times as many tickets as us. It's going to feel like a home game. You're just going to have to see where the chips fall. You know what I mean? It's a veteran quarterback going up against a freshman quarterback, but this isn't the Pac-12. He ain't going to throw it 50 times. He's going to have to hand it off 50 times and eat on the play action and the people around him to make him better. So, again, if we can get uncomfortable, get some penetration, get after him, get some hits on him. Like I said, we don't want to have to blitz every time it's a long yardage situation or to stop the run, but if we have to do what we have to do, if you don't win this game, they're going to think the season's over and we can't have that mentally. You know what I mean?
Exactly. So, no, that's all I wanted to touch on as far as the game. I have a couple more things for as far as season goes. What's your prediction as far as how the game goes? Score? Obviously, you probably have the Duckies winning, but what's a good score? What do you got?
I saw 31-24 earlier, Auburn favored. Now, they're getting 3.5. Let's be honest. Everybody knows you get 3 points for being the home team.
Yep.
That may be 6 this week. They may be favored. In my mind, you go to Jerry's World, the Jumbotron screen goes from the 20 to the 20, Coach.
Oh, okay? I've been there. It's huge.
This is big time. This is big time. Okay? Rick Ross just came out with a song, Big Time. Okay? I'm telling you. As far as the season goes or this game goes, whoever can come out, weather the early storm, step up to the occasion, treat it like a bowl game in the preparation. I think the Ducks are probably a 9 or 10 win team in the long run. I think it's really about staying healthy. Like you saw last year, when that O-line got beat up, the team loses a little bit of their identity. And Chris Ball has brought in this down south, Alabama of the West, whatever you want to call it, We have to stay healthy up front. I'm telling you, there's we are not as we're deep, but we're not as deep as we'll be in a couple years up front. But to me, we're gonna eat off this O-line when we get out in the pack. We're gonna be able to eat against Stanford and UW and Utah. These people with great fronts, as long as this O-line can stay healthy, because that's what he is flipping this program into be.
Oh, exactly. And yeah, as far as the spread and all that stuff goes, I just quickly, I'm thinking like 31-21 Oregon, but I'm being pretty optimistic. It's probably going to be closer than that. I just think, well, let's play devil's advocate here, and let's say, and this kind of goes into some season-long stuff, if Oregon slips up and loses this game, it's basically a road game. So if we lose a close, they were talking about this the other day on Fox. If Oregon loses a close game to a big program like Auburn, and then we win out, are they going to be a playoff team? And I'm like, well, it'd be a Pac-12 champion potentially. So, I mean, granted, we're getting way ahead of ourselves here, but I don't think a loss, a close loss, hurts us as much as, you know, people might think.
I don't like the schedule this year, but if we had this schedule in the players last year, I think it would have panned out a little better. We got some road games that are going to be tough.
Yeah, we got a couple games on the road that are going to be real tough. One's up here in my backyard.
That's what I'm saying. Well, and yeah, one's there, one's on the farm. You got to go to SC. It is what it is. We start out in Jerseyville. We're at AT&T Stadium. We have not ever won a game there. That's facts. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
These games, when you're in the teens and the 20s, the SEC wins. We've got to score 30 or 40 points to win this game, and it just doesn't happen down there. So if this thing's a 28-24 fest, Auburn gets the nod. That's what I'm saying. But I don't know if we can score 30 points on them, because I don't know. I think Marcus Arroyo is a little too cute to score 30 or 40 points on somebody. So I don't know if he's going to be wearing a G-string or a jersey.
There you are. We're back. Technical difficulties. We were getting ready to wrap up anyways, but I think Arroyo, as much as you dislike him, and I'm going to agree with you, he's going to be an X factor because his play calling is going to be important.
It's just, this is the thing, and I don't want to get too into it because I don't want all these Husky fans up there hearing what's going on out here, but we had to hire a third party to coach him in fall camp, or in spring fall, sorry. We brought in an outside person to take notes and coach Herbert during camp. Third-party consultant, ex-quarterback in the Pac-12, was at practice. We said, what's this guy doing here? He's taking notes and he's helping Justin out. So you're telling me Arroyo can't do his job and we had to hire somebody else to come in here and do it. That's facts also. So I'm not just talking trash. I'm being real. Some people know what they know, but this guy can't. He's inept. He's inept. And prove me wrong. Please prove me wrong, Marcus.
No,
you're not nowhere near the Marcus that used to be here.
I hope you're right as far as him proving us wrong, but I remember you telling me that in the few months back, and I was just in awe because, I mean, the guy makes millions of dollars, and if they're doing that, it just seems like they're just not very confident in his abilities. But that's another topic for another show. I'm gonna respect your time. I know you got a bunch of stuff going on. Thanks for hopping on. And hey, I got 31-20. I'm gonna go bold. 31-21 Ducks beat Auburn, and they'll probably vault us into the top 10.
Okay, I got to go 34-31 Ducks then, because I said if we score in the 30s, we win. We just have to be very, very careful of Marlon Davidson, Derek Brown, Nick Coe. This D-line that they have could ruin our day, and we don't need that, Frankie. Okay, we don't need those guys. Dry-humping us all over the field.
So you said, I got to write this down, you said 34 what?
34-31. Good guys.
All right, and for you at home who are bettors, that means bet the over, because I think the over is like 55.
Fifty-six is the over. I'll be honest with you. If I was putting money down, I would bet the under. But since I'm fired up and I'm hopping on a plane and I'm not having any money on this, I'll tell you right now, Duckies, let's go. 34-31, Duckies.
All right, man. Well, have a safe flight down there and have a good time. And we'll be talking to you soon.
All right, buddy. Good talking to you, too. Go Ducks.
All right, man. Go Ducks.
Bye.
All right, guys, thanks for listening to this episode. I always enjoyed my buddy Brent comes on and we get to talk Oregon Duck football. I know it's been a little bit different than what I've been doing in the last few episodes, so hope you guys enjoyed it. Obviously, if you're a Pac-12 or just a college football fan in general, you'll enjoy it. So, also, forgot to add this at the end. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button and also leave a review. If you haven't left a review, it'd really mean a lot to me. It just kind of helps me, you know, move up the charts and hopefully have bigger guests on some day. So, and also don't forget to follow me on Twitter at I am Ryan Frank and on Instagram at I am Ryan Frank and at Talking Sports Ryan. So, with that, hope you guys enjoyed this episode and we'll be talking to you next week.